I know how to move my hips or my bum and my breasts. So that really made me more confident in a sexual way. So one day I woke up and heard screams and chains. And so I ran down to my parents. I was like, "Mom, Dad, I think someone's getting murdered."
Hello and welcome to our first English speaking Cheeks Talks episode with an amazing first guest who some of you might already know from our workshops, tutorials, or films on Cheeks. I'm talking about Esluna Love. She's a porn performer, a model, content creator, and really an all-around sexual creative. In her workshops and tutorials, she focuses on body work and demonstrating different sex practices and techniques, always giving valuable advice regarding best practices and helpful hands-on tips. I love working with her, and I'm very excited to talk to her about sexual self-esteem in this episode. I'm Annalie, the host of The Cheeks Workshops, and now I have the honor of also hosting our English-speaking Cheeks Talks. If you're listening and you would like to give Cheeks a try, participate in our workshops with Esluna, watch educational tutorials, sexy films, listen to erotic audio stories, or learn more about sexuality in our magazine, feel free to use the promo code in the show notes of this episode. Welcome, Esluna, and thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today about yourself and your work and sexual self-esteem. I have already introduced you a little bit in the intro of this episode, but would you maybe share a little bit about yourself with all of us?
Of course. Thank you for having me. My name is Esluna Love. I am a performer and content creator and all-around creative human being from the Netherlands. And I also have a dance background. And this work, content creator and performer, I do that for full-time almost 2 years now. And I'm really exploring my own sexuality and boundaries and creativity within sexuality.
I love that. Yeah, because it sounds really empowering and, and it's really beautiful to hear.
Yeah, I have to say that since I started with this work, I feel also so much more empowered and so much more confident with my own sexuality. So it really was also a personal journey and still is, always is. You always learn every day. Yeah. But yeah, I'm so happy that this came across.
Yeah. How did you get into working with your sexuality?
I did the dance academy. I started dancing when I was 12. And after that, I thought, I'm going to be a professional dancer and ballerina and musical star and everything. But I didn't do that at the end. And during my bachelor program, my bachelor education, I started with modeling and especially like alternative modeling because I have a lot of tattoos. So I was asked for photo shoots that were more alternative and dance photo shoots. And after a year doing that, I also started off with pole dancing and more erotic dancing. And I started with erotic photo shoots and artistic nude. It really did build up. So from photo shoots with clothes, then lingerie, artistic nudes, erotic. And shortly after that, I was asked by a German porn company because I was scouted on Instagram. They asked me, you have a really interesting appearance and we think that you really fit with the production that we're gonna film. Are you interested? So I thought, that's porn. I did like erotic photo shoots, but porn, that's a big step. And then they told me, oh, it's only on our site, and there are all females on the set, and it's really safe and professional, but also low key. And I was like, okay, I need to think about it. And then I discussed it with my partner back then. And he was like, yeah, if you want to do it, I mean, it's only on their website. It's in Germany. It's not in the Netherlands. You know, it's safe and you have nothing to worry about. If you want to do it, just do it. So yeah, my first experience with three other women and a porn shoot was then.
Wow.
I never had sex with another woman.
Wow. That's so exciting.
Sometimes, you know, with going out, it was on my path to, you know, take a girl home, but I never did it because I was nervous. And now it was there for me. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to take it. I just want to, you know, have the experience. And if I thought if I didn't like it at the end, then it's all fine. Then I will not do it again. And then I will never do another porn shoot, or am not into girls. But yeah, I really liked both. So that was a really sexual discovery for me.
That's also really amazing. I mean, talking about sexual self-esteem as well, I imagine to go on a set and shoot a porn in something that you haven't really discovered, like you haven't experienced yourself before, is also kind of challenging, because I would probably, my self-esteem would probably be quite low to be like, oh yeah, of course I feel confident enough to go there and shoot a scene with people that I've never been sexual with before.
Mm-hmm. My brain works sometimes in a different way. I'm like, oh, I just do it. And then see the real reaction of myself afterwards. I'm just the person that, oh, yes, I will do this, I will do that. And if I don't like it, then okay, I will notice afterwards.
Yes, just dive right in.
Yeah, exploring my own, you know, boundaries and really take on the adventures.
Yeah, I love that. And so you did like it.
I did like it. Yeah, I was so freaking nervous, really nervous, like almost shaking. But at the end, I could relax when we were starting, and after, I think, 15 minutes, I could relax more. But I was really, really nervous.
Yeah, I can imagine. And the company, or the production company you worked with, they were making sure that, of course, that you had, like, everything was taken care of, and that you had conversations beforehand.
Yeah.
And things like that.
Yeah, they did like the performer's talk, consent talk, and they really made us feel super safe and secure. And it was a really, really great environment, especially for my first ever porn shoot. I couldn't wish it any better. Yeah, it was amazing.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's like a, hey, everyone should try it.
I mean, yeah, in a safe environment, yes. That's really important.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, after that, I didn't do porn for a while because I was still teaching at that moment, teaching dance classes and working in a dance fashion store. So my whole world was still about dance. And then I decided to move with my ex-partner to another city. And that's where I really started with content creation. So for platforms and doing more movies. And yeah, now after that relationship broke up, I really decided to work full-time as a content creator and performer. And now we're here. So that was my journey.
Yeah. an incredible journey. And again, like, I really think it's very empowering to hear your story, because there's still so many misconceptions out there about the porn industry, or generally, you know, the adult industry. Yeah. And a lot of people, I think, are scared about, or have these ideas of how things are working, and that it's still very unsafe and male gaze oriented and things like that. And to see that there are places where you can actually experience that in a safe way, mm-hmm. is really amazing.
Yeah. I have to say that I always was quite critical on the jobs that I took, because I got a lot of job offers and I often said no for porn productions, because I always did research to the production, to the other performers, because I always asked who is the other performer or performers, because sometimes they just don't say, they just don't give you all the information you need all the yeah. information.
That's shady.
That's really shady. There are still a couple of productions or agencies that are a little bit shady. And if you are maybe really naive and really young, and when you don't have a lot of experience in life, yeah, then you still can get used by the industry.
Yeah.
And when I see that, I'm so sad that sometimes it still happens. Now, I have to say that Europe is not the worst. I don't know how it is in America, but I have heard stories that in America it can be so much worse. I've never been there, so I cannot really give details about that. But from my own experience, I only had very good experience, because I also did it for my own pleasure and not only for the money. I wanted to do things that I'm proud of, or really wanted to do, because they are so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really important that you also say that you still need to be careful and do your research, because I think generally, even in Berlin, for example, it's such a sex positive space generally, and you have so many options to explore. But even then, and this is not talking about the adult industry, it's just generally exploring your sexuality, there are so many places that I've also been invited to and that just didn't feel safe. Yeah. And you just really need to trust your gut feeling with that. And I think it's hard sometimes if you have a lot of people talking to you, saying, for example, this is going to be really great, everyone's going to take care of you and whatnot. And then you're like, oh, maybe I'm worrying a little too much or something like that. But no, just trust your gut feeling. And if something's off, then it's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really important. But also, if you cannot say no, or when you are a person that is really influential, you know, that people can
influence you easily.
Yeah. Yeah, then if you are on a porn set and you're new and you don't have a lot of experience and you are afraid to say no because you want to make everyone happy, and you're there for, let's say, a vaginal shoot, and then they say after that, if we pay you 200 extra, will you do anal right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the example from stories I have heard that happen to especially girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never happened to me, because I never came across that kind of productions, because I said no in front of
Yeah.
But that's still sad.
Yeah, I think because sexuality, it just is such an intimate and vulnerable topic. And again, it doesn't matter if you work with sexuality or if it's just you exploring your own sexuality without work, without getting money for it. It will always be a vulnerable and mm-hmm. intimate thing. And there's so many aspects to it. Yeah, so maybe it's even more important to look after yourself when doing that.
Definitely. And not only in the porn industry, but also when you are collaborating for your own content with other people, or when you go out to certain parties or events. You know, it's really important to create a safe space for yourself, to know your own boundaries, to say no. Consent is key.
Yes, it is. I'm really the biggest fan of consent and consensual conversations, and I'm also teaching that to people. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that I've really learned how, like, conversations about boundaries, for example, and also expressing your desires and things like that work until, like, my late 20s, probably.
Yeah.
Because it's not taught anywhere. And this is also why I think the more you can create that safe space for yourself, the easier it is to go to different, like, environments and check them out and see if they are for you or not. Mm-hmm. And then rely on yourself or take responsibility for yourself and just be like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of spaces, I think, should also give, like, a little explanation beforehand. Like, when you arrive and you're like, okay, this is a consensual space. Cool. But what does that actually mean? Like, how do you approach this? How do you talk about it? And the whole communication part, is lost a lot. And I'm just very passionate about it.
But it's so important. You know, you want to be free within your own sexuality, and that other people are free within your own but within their own sexuality, and all be free and happy. And that only, in my opinion, only works when you have consent.
Yeah. Talking about sexuality, it's such a complex topic and has so many different aspects. So what do you associate with sexuality?
For me, I think, freedom. Freedom to express yourself, how you are feeling, what you desire. I mean, we can create a calendar and then throw the question on it, and then every day other explanations of it.
Yes.
And then maybe in 365 days we have in a year, right? Then maybe we have enough information. Yeah.
I love that. Let's start that now, and then we'll record another podcast in a year from now, and we'll just go over all of the different definitions.
We already have freedom, so we have one day.
Yes. Yeah, but it's true. It's a big question. I'm sorry. This month's topic on Cheeks is sexual self-esteem. Mm-hmm. So I would like to talk to you about this a little more, because I think we do talk a lot about self-esteem generally, but not a lot about sexual self-esteem. And of course, your general self-esteem plays into your sexual self-esteem, but I think there's also a lot of aspects and exercises and things you can do to improve or boost your sexual self-esteem.
Yes.
You and I have also just seen each other 2 days ago in your Cheeks workshop, Introduction to Striptease, which is part of a 4-week course with you on striptease to boost your sexual self-esteem. And I'm curious how dancing plays into your personal sexual self-esteem.
Because when I started off with dancing, especially when I was a little bit older, when I also started having sex, I really already knew my body a bit. Because dancing makes sure that you are connected with your body, just like with yoga or Pilates or meditation even. other sports as well, but you're really connected from your head to toes, to your hands, to your heart. So when I was starting to have more sex and intimate moments with partners, I really knew, okay, I know how to move my hips, like the simple things. I know how to move my hips or my bum and my breasts. So that really made me more confident in a sexual way, but also to seduce a person. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that came later, so around my middle 20s.
Yeah.
Then I learned my body so much better than before that. Also because I was more experimenting with my own body and what I really liked and what gave me pleasure, because I did not really do that before my mid-20s for some reason.
Again, I think we don't learn that.
I mean, my sexual education on school was just horrible.
Yeah.
And my parents, it was like open. I always could ask questions, but my parents were also not really, I wouldn't say ignorant, but they did not really had a lot of experience because they were together for their whole lives. So I was there, lots of questions, and I could not get any answers.
Yeah.
And so in my mid-20s, I decided, okay, I'm going to learn my own body, you know, get to know my own body. And also, I'm going to talk to mm-hmm. people, to my partners, ask. But before that, I was a little bit like, you know, nervous and shy. And I just was also not really confident in bed. And then when I started off with erotic dancing and asking questions and talking, I became so much more confident. So yeah, that really, dancing really helped me. But especially, I wouldn't say classical ballet and modern dance, but especially yeah. like the more erotic kind of stuff. And also yoga, because it really connected my body and soul.
Yeah, any kind of movement where you don't use your body as a tool, mm-hmm. but you more have the, you actually, you try to also connect to your body and feel your body and see how it wants to move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say to people if they're like, yeah, that's really nice, but I can't dance?
I mean, dancing is moving of your body. Everything can be danced. So when people say, I cannot dance, I never believe it. Because most people think, oh, dancing, you always dance on music, right? But no, you can also dance in silence.
Yeah.
You can dance only on your heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I'm going to do this after the podcast.
Yeah, I danced so many times in silence on my room with my eyes closed, mm-hmm. just because I was so stressed or I didn't feel good. And I did not do like really big movements, but just, you know, moving your head around, like, how do you say it when you just make this movement?
Swaying.
Swaying. Like, especially when you're sad. Mm-hmm. Everyone, when you're feeling sad, you most of the times want to go front and back, or mm-hmm. or when you are have a panic attack. Mm-hmm. So when you close your eyes on that moment and you are just sitting really relaxed on the floor or on your bed, but the floor is more grounded, mm-hmm. you know, especially when you are like on the ground, so not on the top floor of the yeah. flat. Just close your eyes and one hand on your heart, for example, and then just sway. That's also dance.
Yeah.
You don't have to stand. You don't have to do movements on the floor with your head and standing on your head and do pliés or...
Yeah, it doesn't have to look pretty in any
no.
sort of way.
That's, I think, a big misconception that dance needs to be pretty.
Yeah, and I think that it really fits what you said about the expression, like freedom of expression of your desires. That is also dance, to just express yourself.
And I think as a human being, it's really important to express yourself within movement, within desires and feelings, within how you want to look, you know, because otherwise I think we get stuck. Also in our sexuality, we get then maybe stuck.
Yeah.
Because everyone is their own person and it's important to be free as that own person, because then you also can be free in bed or naughty places.
Yes, it's so true. The funny thing is also that in regards to sex, I know that there's a lot of people still thinking about, you know, that there's this one way that you have to have sex. There's a right way to have sex and there's a wrong way to have sex.
What did the world teach you that it was the right way? What in your mind did, like, the media and everything, the mainstream environment, what did they teach you that was the right way and the wrong way?
So the way that you have sex is you start by kissing and then you can run your hands along the person you're with, and they run their hands along your body and start maybe stroking or grabbing your ass and your breasts. And this is like the next step already. Then you undress. And then basically you can continue kissing and grabbing parts. But basically what it all leads to is penetration. And especially in a very heteronormative way of thinking, the person with a penis has to come or will come. That's also a given that you don't question. The woman, unfortunately, or the person with a vagina, unfortunately, will not always come. But that's just how life is, you know. I think this is how I learned the sex script. This is the way to have sex. If you call it sex and you don't have penetrative sex, or if you call it sex and no one comes, then that's not sex. That's not the right way to do it.
Yeah, yeah. I've learned it the same way. Even here in the Netherlands, we learn it the same way. And I remember, I don't know if you had this experience as well, but I remember when I was younger and I thought, okay, this is the way to have sex, you know, and the person with the penis needs to come. Otherwise, the sex has failed.
Yes.
I did a bad job.
Exactly.
All my fault.
Yeah.
I thought that, especially the first time when it happened, I cried on the toilet. I was like, no, oh my God, he must hate me. And I was so upset.
Oh no.
I took it so personal because I thought, I am bad at this. It's all my fault.
Yeah.
He didn't came.
Yeah.
Oh, never will work out anymore in this world. But I've learned after that. And he was really sweet. He said, no, I just feel a little bit awful and sick and it's not your fault.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, you felt awful, but then also it's such a high pressure on people with penises as well to perform and to actually come and to have an erection and all of that. That is, you know, that plays a part in that as well.
Yes, but what did you thought it was the wrong way? What did you thought it was wrong sex?
Well, I don't. Maybe wrong sex is the wrong word, but more in the sense that, like you just said, if it's not working out that way, it failed.
Mm.
Like you're not good in bed if the person doesn't come, or if they don't have an erection. If you are in a heterosexual situation or things like that, then. That would be a fail.
Yeah, so I thought, because when I started having sex, I also had a neighbor, a man. He was then in his 50s, and he was an SM master. He was a dom.
Wow.
And we found out because I was sleeping on the attic, and his attic next to our house, our houses were separate, but like built into each other. And he didn't have any isolation on his attic. So one day I woke up and heard screams.
Oh my God.
And chains. And so I run down to my parents. I was like, Mom, Dad, I think someone's getting murdered.
And you didn't know at the time as well that he...
I didn't know. And my parents didn't also know. I slept a floor down in that house. And I moved up. And that's when we started to hear him. So that was my first experience with like BDSM stuff. I never visit his attic. My parents did, because for them it was also completely new. Because he was like, oh, I'm so sorry, I do this. He was really open about it, what was really cool, but I was too young to, you know, get some experience out of that. And now I'm like, why did I never see that attic? I wanted to see all the magic there. But that was also when my parents were like, that's bad stuff, you know, in the adult, he needs to do his own things, but he hurts people, you know, he hurts women. But the woman came there for him because it was pleasure for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's when I thought, oh, this is really intense stuff. This is stuff, no, that's bad. I know. People hurting people during naked. Like,
I mean, to be honest, as a child, of course, but also a teenager, imagining being naked and experiencing pain at the same time feels very absurd and unnecessary.
Yeah, but because also in sexual education, there's nothing about fetishes. There's nothing about sex. It's just awful. I don't know how it is right now for teenagers, but for me, it was...
Yeah, and also, you know, fetishes, kinks, like just different types of, or even fantasies, because I think that a lot of people are also scared of their own fantasies because they think something's wrong with them if they desire a certain thing in their fantasy. But I think this is also why porn can be really liberating in that sense, because it can show all the different ways that, or it can enact your fantasies, basically.
I mean, it can be really liberating for the performers and for the people that watch it.
Yeah.
Because they can connect with that desire or fantasy or kink or fetish. But yeah, it's such a shame that so much people consume porn and they don't think that the performers that are performing are real human beings with feelings.
Yeah, that is definitely still a big problem.
Yeah.
Or that they should be paid, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no. And hairdresser also don't want to get paid, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you do this for fun, don't you?
Yes. And I pay my bills with air. I just breathe to the government. Here are my taxes. But yeah, also some people think that sex workers don't pay taxes.
Really?
Yeah, that's also such a weird thing.
But why? Because they think it's illegal, or it's
they just think that sex work falls in a category of nothing or something. I don't know. I just pay my taxes, like my 21% taxes. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about, well, not only like the adult industry in terms of production and things, but also in regards to performers, for sure. Yeah, so we just want to say at this point, porn performers and people that work in the sex industry, they have to pay taxes. They also need to get paid for their job, because they're doing an amazing job, so they should get paid well.
Yeah, people want to enjoy all the lovely content, right?
So exactly. I mean, it's a very simple comparison, but I always compare it to just the general, the film industry, right? Mm-hmm. You have different movies. You go and watch them in the movie theaters. You pay for your film on Amazon Prime or Netflix or whatnot. And you pay for the movie when you go to the cinema. So why wouldn't you do the same for the performances that are given to you in adult films?
I got in quite a lot of discussions about that with people, but their argument most of the time is I can see it already for free on free tube sites.
Yeah, but that's problematic.
I mean, I don't think that the free tube sites need to non-exist, not to be there. I don't think that, but I do think it starts with the sex education. It starts there when people that give the sex education tell them, okay, but porn is a luxury product and there is so much ethical and educational porn, and that they show, okay, you can find all that stuff, like tutorials, how you give a blowjob or how you lick and stuff like that, on these sites that are approved by blah, 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 and they are ethical. And if they say that in the education, then people get knowledge about it. Now, teenagers just go on the internet and the first thing that pops up, we all know what that is. And that's a free tube site and they don't know anything else. It's just because they don't have the information about it.
It's definitely a good idea to include it in the sex education, but I still think there's too many, and especially if it's teenagers and there's something for free, they're going to want to watch that. Not necessarily care about the ethical part.
Yeah, but is that not because they don't know anything else?
I mean, I think sometimes, but it's the same with music. If there's a way to download music illegally and have the same quality MP3, then a lot of people would still do it, although they know that generally it would be better to pay for it because then the artist gets paid and so on. I think this is, I mean, I seem to have no trust in humans, but And also because porn is something so, it's a paradox, because you would think that if you watch something so regularly that you would be more happy to pay for it. But for some reason, I think in a lot of minds, it works the other way around, that it's like, I want something that is available to me 24/7 and it's easier if I just go on the free site quickly, because I don't want to browse around too long anyways, and I just want to quickly masturbate or something. And I think that creating more awareness about it is definitely the start to it. And all of the people that I talk to about this, I think are more and more understanding why they should pay.
Yeah, I think because it's a more discussed subject now these days. And I really see some people, you know, they get more information about it and they are more understanding. I think because we are doing the podcast and there's more stuff on YouTube about it, performers that are speaking out about it on social medias. So I think if we just keep on doing this, then, I mean, it will change. And Cheeks is also getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? So it is changing. Otherwise, that couldn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. It is changing. And I think also what you said before, to let people know that there's also a lot of educational things happening as well, and not only performances. And also, I think that, you know, on free tube sites, there's a lot of variety, but a lot of it is mainstream porn.
I mean, the things that are being promoted is Brazzers and Fakehub and all the other mainstream professional productions.
Yeah.
I know that they are trying to give more and more attention to amateur ethical creators like Lustre. Also, I see them on promoting on the platform. But also, there is a couple. They create content, like really ethical, soft content only with each other and really real. Also, My Sweet Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, another couple. And they are being more pushed and pushed by the platform as well. So that's really lovely to see.
Yeah, and the more people get to see this content, the more they hopefully want to see this content.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more it will be produced.
Yes. But I think we are on a good way.
We are. And coming back from society and the world to ourselves again and into our bodies and back to our sexual self-esteem. Like, how do you build your sexual self-esteem? We've already talked about dancing and how you got there, but especially for people listening, do you have any ideas or recommendation or exercises that people can do to really connect with their sexual self-esteem?
For me, one of the biggest tips that I can give is to get to know your own body. Because when you don't know your own body, you, especially in a sexual way, like what you like, what feels good, where your pleasure points are, if you not really know that, how are you going to communicate that to another person? Or when you are intimate, maybe with more persons. So I always say, take the time for yourself. Don't pressure yourself in anything. When you are alone in a safe space, dim lights, maybe the music that you like the most, or a really sexy story, or sexy music, or maybe a fabric that you really like that makes you feel good. Some people have that with satin, some people with latex, other people with lace. And really take the time for yourself to enjoy your own body, because then your mind and your body is most close and connected to each other. And after you experience that and you really know your own body, you can explore that with other people and really grow within your sexuality and grow within maybe some fantasies or kinks that you want to discover. And then you have like a more sexual awareness. But it starts with yourself. And don't pressure to do stuff that you're not ready for, because then you can get a pushback, then you can get more insecure when you are pushing yourself too hard in some kind of direction. And it's also not bad when you feel one day more connected with your sexual self than the other day, because nobody feels the same every day, also with your own confidence. And it's the same in your sexual awareness. One day you feel maybe more sexual than the other day, and especially one day maybe the sex is better than the other day. That's so completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning to accept that.
Yeah, and that your desires probably like in your 365 days calendar change every day. So like some days it would be, I want to just be stroked lightly, and then the next day you, I don't know, want to have really kinky sex.
Yeah, that's also completely fine. It doesn't, and if you want every day the same thing, that's also fine. There is no rule that something needs to be perfect in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like what we have learned, huh? Like penetration and coming of the penis, like that's not the way how it needs to be. So yeah, find out what works for you. And what makes you feel good.
Yeah. In a sense, it's basic, but it's so true and so necessary. And unfortunately, we have not learned the basics.
Oh, back to basic. And then the rest.
And as you said, also the idea that there is no right or wrong. I think that's really important to keep in mind that any desire that you have or any way you want to do it is fine.
Yeah, of course, always, again, with consent, especially when you have or with some other human being. But yeah.
Do you have anything, especially when you say there are days that you don't feel in the mood for sex or you have a lower libido? Do you have anything that you really like to do for yourself to get yourself in the mood?
Certain sexy music that really triggers me. And then I just close my eyes and listen to it with my headphones or my AirPods in, so that I really have my own space. So not with like music boxes or stuff like that, but just only in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch a lot of porn, but sometimes when I see certain series, like for example, True Blood. I don't know if you know that. I know it's really catchy. But some scenes are quite hot. And they did something with me. You don't see sex like just like in porn.
It's more suggestive.
Yeah, and the whole vibe. And I'm like, oh my God, it's doing something with me. And I have that with some scenes, especially when the actors really connect, you know, you see the fire on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that works for me. But also when I am with someone, they can really trigger me. Even when I'm, for example, I am in a room with someone and I feel a little bit like depressed, or I'm not in the mood to have any sex at that moment. But then that person started to touch me or say something in my ear or kiss me in my neck. Most of the time, you already have me then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially when I see that person, you know, you look them in the eyes and you see, oh, they really want you.
Yeah.
For me, a big turn on is that I can see that the other person really wants me. Then I'm like, done, melting.
Yes.
But yeah, it can be music, it can be a book, it can be another person, it can be almost everything. And like we said before, nothing is wrong within that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes maybe it's when you're undressing and you're looking in the mirror and maybe that is getting you turned on. That's also completely fine.
Yeah, I think that's really hot.
Yeah. There you have it.
Yes.
That's it.
Just to, because we're going to come to a close of this. Do you have a favorite body part on yourself and on other people?
Oh, with everyone, it can be so different. Because every body, you know, every body type and every human being is so different. But for myself,
I also think that my favorite body part about myself changes every day too.
Yeah, because sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, this today, no, it's not it.
Okay, then what's your favorite body part today?
I mean, it's not a body part, but I always quite like my eyes.
Your eyes is the body part.
Yeah, or my lips. I don't like my nose. Yeah. But eyes, lips, my bum. I'm quite satisfied with my bum.
That's nice.
Yeah, booty. And for other persons, I can like arms, you know, the upper arm, especially when someone is a little bit like, I wouldn't say over-muscled, like not bodybuilder type, but that you can see the definition.
Mm-hmm.
And when you squeeze in it and they, you know... tense it. It's like, oh, it's hard.
Yes.
Or the lines, like from the belly to like in the pants. Yeah, that can be quite hot as well. It's not really a body part, but it's like something specific that can get me really turned on.
Yeah, for sure. I think hands can be... like good hands can be really sexy too.
I've heard that a lot of people like hands and everyone has their own ideal of hands within hands. Some people really like the long fingers, mm-hmm. or other people like the more shorter fingers.
Yeah, there's something out there for everyone.
Oh my God, yes. We are so lucky that the world has so many humans.
Yes.
For everyone, there is something special.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fish in the sea.
Yes, this is how we're going to end this podcast. Before we have to say goodbye, you also have a podcast. And I wanted to just give you a moment to also share this with everyone. And maybe you want to say what it's about and who is it for and where can we find it?
Yes. So together with my best friend, Shayna, we have a podcast. It's called Lekker Kut. It's Dutch. I know. Don't translate it. It will not get any better. But it's cut with a C. So not for the Dutch people that are maybe listening, not with a K. That's the Dutch one. We also have the English version, and it's called What a Lekker Kut.
Oh. Oh,
what is it? And it's about taboos, about sex work. We invite different guests to talk about different subjects. For example, we had Roxy. She's a content creator from the Netherlands, and she's also mom. And we had a dominatrix, real life dominatrix. Jill is her name. So we invite every week different people. And sometimes we also have episodes with just Shayna and me. They are also very interesting because we discuss our experiences with our work, misconceptions about our work. We really try to give more information out there and discuss fetishes, taboos, kinks, sex work, all kinds of other naughty, naughty stuff. And every week we drop a new episode on YouTube and on Spotify.
Yay! I'm really excited to listen to the English one because I didn't know that you already started it.
The first episode will be live 13 February this, so...
Ready for Valentine's Day.
Yes! Yes, so yeah, so exciting!
Yes, I will definitely listen. Thank you. And also to everyone who's listening to our podcast right now, please join us for all of the remaining striptease workshops that are happening every Tuesday in February at 8 p.m. Central European time. And if you happen to miss them, you can then later on check out Esluna's striptease tutorials and so much more on Cheeks. And so this is not even a goodbye because we're gonna all come back together on Tuesday again. Thank you so, so much for recording this podcast with me, Esluna. It was such a pleasure having you.
Thank you for inviting me. I had so much fun.